Like the psalmist says, I'm always glad that we can go to the house of the Lord. Isn't it a joy? Well, let's thank the Lord for that and go to Him in prayer. Father, we just want to bless You. We want to thank You with all of our heart, with all of our being, for being able to be here again this morning. Lord, You have filled our hearts with joy. Lord, another week, You've brought us through it. You've kept us. You've been faithful. A tender, loving Father towards us. We ask now for Your blessing upon this time. Lord, we're nothing apart from You. We need You. Every hour we need You. Lord, there's all manner of needs this morning, and we need to hear from You. We need Your presence. We need Your Spirit. Lord, where two or three are gathered, will You not be there? Will You be near to Your brethren, Your people? Your children, would You feed us, Lord, this morning? I ask for Jonathan as well, down there in Ecuador with the Garros, and just pray Your hand upon him as he preaches. Lord, would You fill him with boldness and utterance and encourage him as he helps the brethren there and bless Clayton and Don and this new baby brought into the world. Lord, we think of the conference down there in Laredo and Michael, and just ask Your hand to be upon that time as well. Lord, we are asking for Your presence. We're asking for Your nearness, Lord. And we pray You'd be in our meeting. You'd help James and encourage his heart as well. Fill him with Your Spirit and give him boldness, Lord. We have nowhere else to go. You have the words of eternal life, Lord, and we are expecting great things today from Your hand. Lord, You have saved us. We are not our own, but You have bought us with Your precious Son's blood. You've done the greatest thing imaginable. Heaven has no more to offer, Lord. You've given the very best. How will you now withhold food that we need this morning for our souls, our needy souls, Lord? And I pray for the lost today. Lord, I pray for whoever's listening to this message. Lord, would You somehow use it to break their hard hearts? Lord, is Your word not a hammer, You said? And Lord, are You not pleased to use weak vessels, Lord, to glorify Yourself all the more? So I pray You'd do that this morning. Lord, You'd show them their need of You. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can open to Psalms 119. And we'll just be going through the whole psalm this morning. Just kidding. So, verse 65 through 72. So, since this is all one section, I'll read the Hebrew letter Teth, if you have that at the top. I'm probably not saying that right, but these are all set apart by Hebrew letters. We don't know the author exactly. We assume it's probably David because it seems to be the same way he talks. It seems to be his method, his style. But verse 65, You have dealt well with Your servant, O Lord, according to Your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in Your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep Your word. You are good, and You do good. Teach me Your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe Your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in Your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn Your statutes. The law of Your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. All right. Brethren, I want to direct your attention to verse, particularly 71, but then also we see it in 67 as well. It is good for me that I was afflicted. That's what I would like to focus on. So first of all, these afflictions, we see in both cases, they make the truth come alive. When the Lord first saved us, we hadn't really gone through much. We knew a lot of the Bible. It was really precious to us. But it was really just knowledge in our heads. We hadn't applied it yet. We didn't need to use it yet. It's like when I first got out of school, I knew a lot of things, but I hadn't applied them yet. I hadn't actually put them to the test. I hadn't gone to any fires yet. I hadn't done any work yet. And so it's the same for the Christian. It's good that we're afflicted, that we may learn His statutes. It's good, verse 71 and 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Now I keep your word. Now I hold on to your word more. Now I've applied it. I've seen it. I've learned it. I've learned to appreciate all of the promises in your word in a whole new way. And so I thought recently to describe this. There's tons of examples, but I recently had a competition, a jiu-jitsu competition. It's just a wrestling match. And I went a lot more rounds than I thought I was going to go. I actually went five rounds, and we were all completely exhausted. You know, we had all done five rounds. And when you're at the very end of exhaustion, it's the foundational techniques that I learned that I really relied upon. It wasn't the fancy techniques that we all like to learn. They're really cool. They're really neat. Doctrine is amazing, and it's good, and we should learn it. But brethren, when we're going through really hard things, it's the simple foundational truths that get us to the very end when we're gasping for our last breath, spiritually speaking. It's those foundational truths. And so the Lord puts us through something that we may learn His statutes better and realize that actually worked. I'm very grateful for that technique because that saved my life. It actually worked and got me to the end. And so it's the same much more in the spiritual realm. When we go through something and we come on the other side and we realize, I am very, very grateful that God does good, and He's good and He always does good. Period. He's good and He always does good. So everything we go to, we just put that at the banner of it. This is what I know. We got to know some things. And the truth comes alive whenever we go through trials and afflictions, and we can say, yes, He is good, and yes, it is good that I was afflicted, that I may learn His law, learn His testimonies, learn His statutes, His word. Now, the word can get choked out with things. We know that from the Lord's parables. It can get choked out by other things. And so the Lord, He afflicts us that we may not stray away and sink back into the world and lose that precious word that God gives us. These things that creep up, they choke out the word. And so God, He puts some affliction upon us that it not get like Hosea chapter 8, verse 12. It says, God, He gave them all these laws, 10,000 laws He gave them, but they were regarded as strange things. Strange things. I mean, there's no lack of words this morning, brethren. You're coming here this morning, or particularly to the lost. There's no lack of preaching. Y'all have heard good, solid words from this pulpit thousands and thousands of times, and it's just a strange thing to you, I'm afraid. And there could be those who profess, and it's still a strange thing to you. But if you go through affliction, I know there's lots of dear saints here who have gone through affliction, and it's no longer a strange thing. It's a dear thing that you hold on to very closely. So God does that, where His word is no longer a strange thing, but it's an intimate friend. It's something we hold on to very closely. It's very precious to us because it saves our life. His word, it gets us out of that, it gets us out of our afflictions and becomes a very close friend. So these afflictions, they also, when they drive us to the word of God, they make us more sober-minded. Before these afflictions, we just weren't as careful as we thought we should have been. And they drive us, they make us more sober-minded. They realize, I was about to fall away. I went astray, the psalmist says, and that now I keep your word. Now I'm kept. You kept me from falling. Now I watch over my heart with all diligence. I protect my heart because in the heart there flows, there dwells the springs of life, Proverbs says. So it makes us more sober-minded. In this past event, You know, these afflictions, people falling away, they make us more sober-minded. And brethren, that's my prayer with everything in the past. I know that's happened with me. Lord, I mean, it smashes us. Lord, we're helpless. You've got to help us. We're not going to make it. It really sobers us up to where we walk in a more careful way. And so then we also see with regards to the Word of God that it becomes more valuable to us. And he gives this really amazing statement here, more valuable than thousands of gold and silver pieces. And that's what it is. When you go through something, these afflictions, it becomes more precious to us, more precious than a thousand silver or gold pieces. It makes us where I can't just get one piece of it. I have to go back, like my dear father would say, I have to go back to that gold mine and get all of it, get the rest of it. I mean, he who would find a gold mine and just get one little piece of it, we would call him a fool. But if you want to go back and get all of it, that's what the Word of God becomes. I mean, before it was just like a book, it was some words, but then you start to read it, you start to walk with the Lord, you go through some affliction, and it's so precious. And brethren, if it's not like that, if we can't say, I wouldn't trade one page of the Bible for $1 million, cry out to God and make it like that to you. And that's what the psalmist says in 66, teach me good discernment and knowledge. Teach me these things. Show me more. Show me wonderful things from your law, that I might not sin against you. And so they make the Word of God come alive. It makes it precious beyond measure. So, moving from the Word of God, another thing these afflictions do is they fill us for love for God. And we know, brethren, God doesn't discipline those who are not His. He only disciplines His children, only those whom He loves as His children. What does it say in Romans? But He lets them go. He lets those who are not His, He just lets them go. What a scary thing. But brethren, what encouragement that the shepherd corrects his people. They're going astray, and he grabs them, and he puts them back on the path. So many times God has done that for us, brethren, and we can just thank Him and praise Him for that. We were going astray, and yet God gives us some affliction and applies it to us that we would not. And so he's our shepherd, he's our physician, he's close, he's near. And that's the thing about a physician. When a surgeon is doing these delicate cuts, whatever the surgery may be, he's close. He's not thinking about anything else, though God, he's not like that, but he's thinking about what he's doing, and he's cutting very carefully to us. And then that can be a comfort as well. He's close during affliction. We were going astray. We were far. But then God brings us back. He applies that affliction. And now we're close once again to Him. If you don't know the Lord, He's not near to you. He's not doing this to you. You know, Joseph's brothers, they were full of bitterness because Jacob loved Joseph more. And if being parents, I can imagine, just because I know my parents said this about me, like their desire was just to love us all equally, just to show us all love. And yet, you know, Jacob, he makes this mistake and he loves Joseph more and they're hurt by that. But how much more, you who don't know the Lord, he doesn't love you like he does his children because you're not one of his children. Yes, he does have a love for everybody, but not like his children. His children, he doesn't leave where they're at, but he brings them along and he afflicts them. Such correction, such tender affection from our Heavenly Father. So, not only a love for God, but a love for the lost. And, brethren, after affliction, just the growing love for the lost, I've seen ever so clearly. That where they're at, where they're headed, apart from God's grace upon them, that if God goes through such measures to save them, such measures in ourselves to save us from hell, how bad hell must be, and just a love for them to reach them, to share with them. And the psalmist here, he does talk a little bit about them. They're arrogant. They've forged a lie. Their heart is fat. There's no feeling. There's no feeling there. They're just going their way, dead in their sin. And they're of their father, the devil. They're full of lies. And they like to take people away from following him. They like to talk about how good God is not good and how you're serving him in vain. And they say all these lies, and they say, why would you serve such a loving and good God? And it just burdens your heart, and you have this love for them. These afflictions, they do this. When we are doing well, we just didn't have a burden for the lost like we do now. And we can be thankful for that. I mean, and Jesus, hanging on the cross, says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And may we have that same love for the lost too, brethren. May God ever give us a love for the lost. And the afflictions, they do that for us. They make us realize just where we're at, where we're headed, where they're headed, how much they need Christ, that God is their only hope. They're not weeping for their sins, but brethren, let us be weeping for their sins. Let us be weeping for them and cry out to God for them. That's what affliction does, and I'm so thankful for that. And, you know, Joseph, he didn't know why God put him why he got sold to slavery, got put in prison. He didn't know a lot of things, but he realized later on that God was preserving life. And so, brethren, every affliction, if it somehow gives you a better way to preserve life, to save one soul, what a blessing that is. If affliction helps you reach that lost person better in some way, I've realized that. When you talk about your life, what you've gone through, see, the lost think everything's just sunshine and rainbows. But when you share about your losses and what God's brought you through, it allows you to reach them all the better. And that is such a blessing, just one soul being saved. I mean, if that's what it took, him dying on the cross for our souls, souls are so precious. If souls are so precious, then afflictions that we go through that God gives to us, those are precious as well, and we can thank him for that. If we can win more souls to Christ. So, moving on, afflictions make us all the more careful to watch out for sin. More careful. It also makes us see how sinful sin is. I mean, one sin sent down the human race, this path, this dark path, just one sin in the garden there. And when we see what sin is, it makes us not walk so tall and mighty. When we see our tendency to fall into it, when we see how David fell, we walk more carefully. When God gives us affliction and we were going astray, and God brings us back, we're all the more careful about sin. We don't want to get as close as we can to the edge and still make it. We want to get as far away from the edge as possible. These afflictions, they do that for us. Psalms 116, it says, He was rescued. The Lord has rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. When we see that, God, He rescues us and He pulls us back. He kept us from stumbling. He kept us from that temptation. And what a kindness of His to do that. And we see how He has saved us from so many tears and weeping. And that's what it says. The lost will be sent into hell with weeping and gnashing of teeth forever and ever. And God has saved us from so much weeping and sorrow. And we may shed a few tears here, and we know it's hard, but God has saved us from shedding tears beyond measure. And that is such a praise and a thanks we can give to God. He's saved us. He's rescued us. Kept us from stumbling. Well, another thing is Christ. They make Christ all the more precious. Not only that, but we're content in the Lord more. Contentment in Christ. And that has been something that's been very precious to me. It's just to be able to say, like the psalmist, whom do I have in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing here on earth. And Psalm 68, we wouldn't know. We wouldn't know. These promises just wouldn't be real if God didn't in His wisdom and His kindness, if He takes our Heavenly Father or our earthly Father, we have a Heavenly Father in heaven. He says He's a Father to the fatherless and He protects the widows. We wouldn't know of what this verse means if our heart wouldn't be broken. And you read, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. We wouldn't hold so dear to this if we didn't lose our loved ones and close friends. And God, He tells us, I will betroth you to Me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to Me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness, in compassion. I will betroth you to Me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. Hosea chapter 2. So these afflictions, they bring us with sweet fellowship and sweet fellowship to the Lord. Fellowship of His sufferings. Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. So sharing in the sufferings of Christ, these afflictions, they help with that. We learn more of Christ, learn of His heart. Galatians says to be crucified with Christ. We are crucified with Him. He must increase, but we must decrease, John the Baptist says. And so we learn His statutes when we go through afflictions. We learn His Word better. We learn Him better, more of His heart. That's why we go to the Word of God, to see more of Christ. When we say, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn Your statutes, what we're talking about is just more of Christ. Seeing Him more in Scripture. Seeing more revelations of Him. Having more reality with Him. The fellowship of His sufferings. God, it seems, He worked the death of Uzziah for Isaiah in chapter 6. It says He saw greater. It says He saw the Lord sitting on a throne. And this is right after Uzziah's death. He saw Him sitting on a throne. God can even use those hard things like death of probably His friend. Uzziah was probably His friend. We see more of Christ when we come through that. May it be so. I know there are some among us who have lost, and my prayer is that they would see Christ sitting on a throne, seeing him for who He is and how glorious He is. God uses these afflictions and how precious they are to us when we see more of Christ. So not only that, but these afflictions humble our pride. Pride, what a terrible thing. Why would we ever be prideful? And I've heard it said, it's the last to go and it's the first to come back. And God's been so good to us. And so He gives us these afflictions that we would humble our pride. Brethren, I think back when I first came here, there was a lot of pride in my heart. I was very judgmental towards a lot of you all. I thought I was really something. I had good parents. I had Christian parents. I thought I was going to do this and that. And God just pulled the rug right out from under me. And I'm so thankful that God humbles His people. And He gives us more of Himself. I'm so thankful to be with you all. I'm so thankful to be fighting this fight with you all. And to be rubbing shoulders with you all. There's no more rather I'd rather be than right here, excited from heaven. And I just think about how that's the best way to know somebody when you go through a battle, you go through war together. It's not during the fun times, but it's when you go through really hard things that you begin to learn one another. You begin to appreciate each other. You're not judgmental, but you try and build each other up. So thankful for that. So thankful to be less like myself today. You know, I think about the guys at work, and I'm close to them. Probably closer to a lost, some of those guys. I don't know if they're saved, but I'm very close to them, and I really appreciate them because they've helped me. They've been through some hard things with me. And that's how you appreciate somebody. That's the fellowship of His sufferings, the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. He went through all of that for me. He went through all that loneliness, that heartache, that pain for me. And will I shy away from this little affliction that he's put upon us? And you get that? You get his presence every step of the way. I mean, what affliction in this world? This world is hard. I mean, the lost, they face affliction too, but they don't have Christ. And they're escapists. They try and get out of it. Don't you know that's how we were before? Whatever we can do to get out of this affliction. Maybe we drink, we go out, we party, whatever it is, we put on our headphones, we play our video games. This life is hard, it's miserable. But you don't want to go through it without Christ. You don't want to go through it without the fellowship of his sufferings, fellowship of what Christ went through. To have a part with him, crucified with him. He's the best of saviors. No one cares for our hearts like he does. And so when you catch a glimpse of this, it's just, Lord, anything for you. Anything for you. These light momentary afflictions, they are holding for us an eternal weight of glory. If you have me go through this, that I could share to just one person, and they would see this life is not worth it. Living for this world, for the devil, it's not worth it. Sin's horrible, and they see your life, and they see that Christ is better, and they turn from their way, and they run to Christ. Oh, brethren, that's just such a precious thing. And afflictions do that. So good to not be a spoiled, bratty, rich kid. We think we deserve things. We deserve hell, and God has saved us from hell. And he humbles us. And so I'm very thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for you all. And may we learn to hug these afflictions, because they bring such good things. They bring Christ. He's precious and beautiful beyond measure. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. That's what the hymn says. This dross of pride, may it ever be burned off of us and humble us, that we may better glorify him, better know him. We can't really know him if we're full of pride. And knowing him is eternal life. There's nothing better than knowing Christ. Thomas Watson said, if he puts us on his back, on our backs, then we look up. Then we look up and we see him. Robert Murray McShane said, I always feel my need for the afflicting hand of God. And so, we're not our own, brethren. We've been bought with a price. And therefore, it's hands off. We're not our own. This life, this body is not our own, but we're Christ's. We are his. We're his possession. He bought us with his precious blood. So you wake up this morning, the lost is not thinking, Lord, what would you have me do today? But as a Christian, we wake up and we can say, Lord, I'm not my own, but what would you have me do today? How would you use my life for your glory? What would you have me go through that I may better be able to help others and encourage others and comfort others? Spurgeon gave this really helpful illustration that was convicting to me. He says, suppose you have a gardener employed, and so you're working for this gardener. He's in his garden, and you're called to tend it. He gives you your wages. You take good care of it, and you have a certain number of roses. You've trained them up, and they're blooming really beautiful. You pride yourself upon them. You come one morning into the garden and you find the best rose has been taken away. You're angry and you go to your fellow servants and you charge them that they took it. And they said, no, I didn't take it. How can we be angry then when we find out that the rose has been taken by our own dear master, whom he thought to be fair and very attractive, and his own hand is the one who took it? And whatever he does, however he seems best. So that's a hard lesson to learn, brethren, but that's the reality. God, he gives us things, and they're not our own. We take care of them, and we prize them, we love them, dear loved ones. But when God takes them away, well, they weren't ours to begin with, and how precious it is that the Master would seem it so fair and attractive to take it. And so he prunes us. He lops off seemingly good branches, takes away loved ones, our health, but it's all by his skillful, loving hand so that we may bear more fruit. And that's encouraging. So it was good that we be afflicted, that we may be able to help others. Isn't that what Paul said in 1st or 2nd Corinthians? To comfort others with the comfort that God has given us. Comfort others. Help others to stay in the race. Someone who is so comforting to us, you know without a doubt they've gone through things to where they can better understand your situation. And you're not able to do that. That's why Christ can comfort us so well, because he has gone through everything so perfectly. He knows our hearts perfectly. So they help us help others. I was reading Genesis, and we can get so easily to say, like Rachel, who said, what good is my life? You know, if this happens, if this gets taken away, what good is my life? Or like Jacob, all is against me. All's against me. What am I going to do? I'm ruined. When in fact, all is worked out for good and for the glory of God. God is in all. He's working in all, and it's all for our good. But we can get our thinking so wrongly, and we have to come alongside and remind each other, no, God's working all this for good. You have to believe that. I really like the story of Polycarp. He was martyred. And at 86 years, he says, I have served Christ 86 years, nor has he ever done me any harm. How then could I blaspheme my King who saved me? I love that. We are going to say the exact same thing when we get to the end, brethren. He has never done us any harm. He has pruned. He has taken away some things. He's taken away that rose that we held on really dearly. But he's never done us any harm. He's kept us from straying away. When we were going astray, he brought us back all those years. Faithful. What a faithful friend he is. As Ephesians talks about, no husband would ever hurt his dear wife, nor Christ hurt his body, the bride, his church, but nourishes and cherishes her. So Christ, he does us. He loves us, brethren, and he nourishes and cherishes us, and he works all things for our good. Yeah, and we cannot know a lot of things. Like Joseph, he didn't know a lot was going on. Poor guy, sold in slavery at 17 years old. Had no idea what was going on. He'd been given these promises by the Lord in dreams, and then he gets sold into slavery. He gets slandered. And he walks in his integrity, and he says, how can I sin against God? He's kept me all these years. And they throw him in prison, and they forgot him. You know, the one guy he got out, he forgot him. And God gave him a dream, and he comes out 22 years later. Those chains come off, and it's just, he sees his brothers later, and wow, Lord, you really did bring it about. You really were faithful to me. That dream, that promise that you gave me, it really is true. You would do that for me. And so we don't know a lot of things, but God is working all things for good. It's just like Romans 8 says, we don't know how to pray. We don't know a lot of things, and that's okay, but we do know God is working all things for good, brethren. He won't forget us. He didn't forget Joseph. He didn't forget all those Old Testament saints. He didn't forget my dad one moment. He didn't forget him, and all those things, all those years, Papa, he hasn't forgotten you. He kept you. He kept you all those years until you were saved. And the same for every one of us. And so we shouldn't, as the hymn writer says, judge the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. In all of these cases, like with Joseph and Job, they didn't realize it, what was going on, but when they felt the worst, you can imagine that just a total failure. What's going on? Why did I lose everything? What's the Lord doing? Little did they realize how big of a help that would be to us, to seeing God work, seeing God be faithful to them. And so often with us, when we're under affliction, when God's doing things in our lives, it just feels like, what's going on? Why is this happening? We could be doing our best work right then. God is too good, Spurgeon says, to be unkind, and He is too wise to be mistaken. When we cannot trace His hand, we must trust His heart. That is true. So lastly, these afflictions, they make us long for heaven more. We need these afflictions to endure to the end. And Paul says to all of you who love His appearing, we love His appearing. Someday, brethren, He's going to come back, and we are looking forward to it. And these afflictions, they make us long for heaven more. They make us not set up camp down here so quickly. They make us more agile, marching to Zion. Not this is not our home. This is not our home, brethren. So they help us move quickly, make us more agile. And so when we get there, brethren, when we catch a glimpse of the Savior, when we stand before the throne, dressed in beauty, not our own, and see Him as He is and love Him with a perfect heart, then we will say, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I have loved every afflicting rod my Heavenly Father has so wisely, so kindly given me. So praise the Lord, brethren. That's what I got. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You. We thank You, Lord, that we're still here. We have not strayed away. You've kept us by Your power. You have sent the afflictions upon our lives that You have. Lord, You never want to do us harm. You never seek our harm, ultimately, only our good. And we are very thankful for every time You brought us back and kept us. Pray, Lord, keep doing it. Keep us, Lord, all the way to the very end. We long to see You, Lord. We long to see Your face. Lord, help us to win souls. In Jesus' name, amen.